morning. Now, Thomas, would you mind helping me? I need some help. So, and I just want to make sure that I know these were put in the bulletin. Is there anybody that didn't get one of these? If you didn't get one of these coming in, would you please raise your hand? We need one over there. Yep. Yeah. Larry, would you help me pass these out? Yeah. And just make sure everybody gets one. I want to make sure that I don't get lost. So if I'm preaching away, oh, hey, you're supposed to be on point one. Just raise your hand and you'll know I'm supposed to be there, okay? Yep, we need one right here. Yep, Larry, we need one right here, right here, right here. Everybody needs to get one. So while they're passing those out, I just want to bring you greetings from soon to be Dr. Scott Wayland, who's in a doctorate program, and Dr. Wayland was selected as our new district superintendent for the Chicago Central District. So just so grateful for his leadership. And I want to bring greetings from him. From our, we have 79 churches now that worship in over 10, 11 languages. And, but one of the most important languages we have on our district, obviously, is Arabic. And so just a big shout out to all the Arabic people who are here. And it's so good to see you all and the good people of Calvary. So good to see Pastor Jamil. He and I have something in common now. We're both retired. And amen. And so it's just really good. I just want to do a shout out also to my wife. She has put up with me in December. It will be 45 years since Denise has put up with me. And so I'm really grateful. She started frosting her hair to get more respect out of people. So, you know, you make sure that you treat her with respect now. Okay. And it's also a privilege to be here with Pastor Ryan and Lori. Did you know that Ryan has been active in service here as pastor of this church this last October? It'll be 8 years that he has served here at this church. And let's welcome them. So good to be with them. And another great highlight, 10 years ago, we started serving here, and 10 years ago, I started participating. I think it was my very first Arabic Thanksgiving service. And after I went to that Thanksgiving, and especially the meal, I mean, the meal is what I really love. So you all have to put up with this so you can eat a meal, right, Magdy? And so it's been a year, I think, at this same time a year ago, Pastor Magdy was installed as the pastor of Oaklawn Arabic. Can you believe it's been a year that he has served? Has he been doing a great job? Let's say thank you for Pastor Magdy. And it's so good to be with all of you here. Today, we want to take a look at the theme of how do we replace fear with faith. We live in a culture and in a world where there's a lot of people who are afraid of a lot of things. They're afraid for their health. They're afraid for the future. They're afraid for their finances. They're afraid for their family. They're afraid for their safety. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why people are fearful. And I want to take a look at the theme today, a very practical theme, as we take a look at this Thanksgiving Sunday. I want to take a look at how do we replace fear with faith. And how does a person develop a faith that gets rid of fear? No matter what happens in our life, our home, our job, how do we cultivate this belief that all things can work together for good of those who love the Lord? We want to take a look at that today. And that's because the greatest human factor that influences our life is the way we see things. The way we see ourselves, the way we see God, the way we see other people, the way we see our family, the way we see problems, the way we see the past, the way we see the present, the way we see the future, the way we see everything in life, because our perspective in life makes all the difference, because replacing fear with faith is determined by what you and I see, what we focus on. So this morning, I want to take a look for these few minutes on the subject of what you and I see. And I hope we can do this to discover how we can all in this room, and if anyone is looking at this later online, how we can look at life beginning to see with eyes of faith. Because what we see determines the difference between whether or not we're going to be a success or a failure. What you see determines whether or not you're going to be victorious or defeated. What you see determines whether or not you're going to be happy or unhappy in life. What you see determines whether or not God's going to be allowed to work in your life. What makes the difference in life is your perspective. It's what you and I learn to see. Now, people have said for years there are two ways of looking at everything. And this is nowhere better illustrated than from an Old Testament story of the people of God. And I think this is really appropriate for us to look at today, because there are two ways of looking at everything. And here, if you have your Bible, or if you have your outline, I want you to follow along with me. If you have your Bible, open to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And if you're unfamiliar with the Christian Bible, if you have a Bible, you can just open it up and start with the contents, and my Bible starts on page 116 with Numbers. And if you take a look, those really big letters are what called chapters, and the little one are called verses. And we're going to look at Numbers beginning with Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to look at these two things because there's two basic ways of looking at everything in the church. And that is either we see with eyes of faith or we see with eyes of fear. Now, as you take a look and remember Jewish history, has anybody ever seen the movie The Ten Commandments? Ah, okay. I want you to play that movie in your mind this morning, okay? So, Moses has just led the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God has just split open the Red Sea. Do you remember that? And they have just walked through walls of water, and they have come up on the other side. The enemy army has been wiped out, and they're moving toward the Promised Land. And the Bible tells us that the Israelites stayed at Mount Sinai for 2 years, and there they received the Ten Commandments and the rest of God's law. And now they're coming on to the edge of their next stop. And that place is called Kadesh. And there, this is what God says to Moses. He says, Moses, I want you to send out 12 spies to go in and spy out the land. Because the people won't believe it unless they see it. And so, Moses obeyed God, and he selected the 12 spies, and they went in and did their job. They saw the land, they saw the fruit, they saw God's plan. But the problem was, this group of 12 spies brought back two very different reports. Maybe you know the story. Let me tell you what happened. 10 spies came back with a negative report, and 2 spies came back with a positive report. 10 said, we saw with eyes of fear, and 2 said, we saw with eyes of faith. 10 of them said, we only see obstacles. And 2 said, Wow, look at the opportunities. And the point of this Old Testament story is that the Jewish nation, the people of God, had a choice. And that choice was the whole nation with an opportunity to enter the promised land. But it was contingent on them having the right perspective, on seeing with eyes of faith. So I want us to take a look at this chapter from the Bible, Numbers chapter 13. If you have your Bible, you can follow along with me. This is what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "The Lord sent Moses. He said to Moses, 'Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders.'" So there are 12 tribes. There are 12 leaders that are sent out. Now I want you to go, if you have your Bible, go down then to Numbers chapter 13. Let's go to verse 18. Verse 18 to 20, this is what Moses tells these guys. He says, "When you go in, I want you to see what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, whether they're few or many." Look at verse 19. "What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or are they fortified with big walls?" Look at verse 20. "How is the soil? Is the soil fertile or is the soil poor?" Look at verse 21. Then the Bible says in verse 21 of Numbers chapter 13, "So these 12 leaders went up and explored the land." Now look at verse 25 and 26 with me. There the Bible says, "At the end of 40 days, the 12 spies returned from exploring this land. And they came back to Moses at Kadesh, in the desert of Paran, and there they reported to Moses and the whole Israelite assembly." Now look at verse 26. "The 12 spies," this is a quote from the Bible, "showed everyone the fruit of the land." Look at verse 27. "And they gave Moses this account: 'We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. Here are the grapes.' It's a dynamite place. Everything that God said that it is, it is." Now I want you to notice, though, if you have your Bible, look at verse 28. This is in the English. I'm not sure, Sammy, what the word in Arabic is, but this is what the word is in English, okay? You have to help me translate. So the first word of verse 28 in the English translation, after talking about how great this is, this is the first word in verse 28. "But." But. "And that one word kept the entire nation of Israel, all of the people in the desert for 40 long years." It's a great place. But the land is fertile. But the fruit is wonderful. But it's got an ideal climate. But God has promised it. But. But what? The 10 spies blurted out their fear. Verse 28, this is what the Bible says. "But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified. They're very large." Moses, the spies said, "You can't believe it. The cities have got walls all around them." Now the problem was, these 10 spies could only see with eyes of fear. Now the Bible says in verse 30 that spy number 11 then got up. His name was Caleb. I wish I could have been there for this one. He stands up, he silences all of the people, and this is what he says. He says, folks, I saw the same thing that these 10 guys saw. I saw the walls, I saw the giants, I saw the obstacles, and I say we should go up and take possession of the land. With God, we can certainly do it. Caleb saw with eyes of faith. But the 10 who were beside him said, no. No, we can't. We can't do it. Now, notice here in this passage of Scripture that one group says we can and one group says we can't. What is the difference? It's all in what you see. The point is this. Whatever your problem, whatever your life circumstance, whatever you may face in the future, whether it's in your home, it's on the job, it's in your church, your perspective, what you see, makes all the difference in the world. You say, well, Dr. McCain, what in the world happened? Well, I'm glad you asked. You'll notice in verse 32, this is what the Bible says happened. Those 10 spies spread among the Israelites a bad report. Has anybody ever been at a job situation, a work situation, where people were spreading a bad report? Now, I know that never happens in a church, does it? People spreading a bad report. But that's exactly what happened in this situation, in this circumstance. The 10 spies told the people, this is what the 10 spies told the people, this is verse 33. The land we explored, the people are powerful. The citizens are giants. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We look like little insects to them. You know, compared to them, we're just bugs. They saw with eyes of fear. So if we're going to answer the question, well, how do I replace fear with faith? I think we need to know, why do people who are people of faith to begin with, why do the people of God, why do we ever see with eyes of fear? I think there's three reasons, and they're there in your outline. First of all, people see with eyes of fear because, number one, people misunderstand and forget what God can do. Now, notice how quickly the people forgot what God had supernaturally already done. Just a few months before, these people had been set free from the most powerful nation on earth. Remember the movie? Wiped out. Pharaoh's whole Egyptian empire, his whole army, totally wiped out. God had wiped it out in a tremendous display of power. These Israelites had been there. They had seen all of that would have happened. They saw the Red Sea. They saw the walls of water. They walked through on dry ground. They watched Pharaoh's whole army being wiped out. They had personally experienced being set free from the greatest nation on earth at that time, and now they're worried about some local hick tribe behind a wall. Which leads me to say this. Have you ever noticed that the longer that you look at a problem, the bigger it gets? The first reason people see with eyes of fear is, number one, people misunderstand and forget what God can do. I think the second reason why people of faith, good people, see with eyes of fear is, number two, they underestimate what they can do. Listen to what verse 33 says. Here the 10 spies said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Talk about a lack of belief. We're just insects. We're just little bugs about ready to be eaten up. We could never do that. We could never pull off that project. We could never accomplish this task. Oh, on my job, it's too big. Oh, there's no way that we could achieve this. What was the problem? Well, with the people back in the time of this particular story, they had had 400 years of mental conditioning, 400 years of slavery. And because of their mental condition, because of the way they had trained to think themselves, they only saw themselves as totally incapable. They not only underestimated what God could do, they underestimated what they could do. They said, we're just like grasshoppers. They underestimated what they could do. And then the third reason I think that people see with eyes of fear, not eyes of faith, is they choose to have the wrong perspective. You see, problems never defeat us. Only our perspective of them does. So let me ask you this morning on this Thanksgiving Sunday morning, what problem are you facing in your life right now, today? What is the devil trying to feed into your mind that is too big for you? What problem is your family facing? What problem is your job facing? What problem is your church facing? What problem are you facing personally? What problem is looming ahead on the horizon so much that the devil is trying to convince you it is too much of a giant, it can't be taken down, it can't be killed, it can't be knocked out by Almighty God? Regardless of the problem that you are facing right now in your life, I have some really good news today. And you know what the good news is? Are you ready for it? Your problem is not your problem. Your problem is the way you are currently seeing it. Are you looking at the size of the giant, or are you looking at the size of your God? It all comes back to what you and I choose to see. And the Bible teaches this so clearly. The Israelites were defeated for 40 years, not because of the giants, but because of their own attitude of fear. Now, you know why so many people don't replace fear with faith? It's the same reason that the Israelites didn't. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says all the Israelites grumbled against Moses. They grumbled against Aaron. They said, let's get rid of these guys. We all want to go back to Egypt. Oh, yes. Let's go back to Egypt. We had so much fun there, didn't we? The Israelite people, they had longed now for the good old days of Egypt, where they had been slaves for 400 years, where they had been whipped to death, where they had been beaten, whether their children had been thrown into the river, where they had cried for deliverance for 400 years, but now they wanted to go back to Egypt. It didn't make any sense. Here's what they were saying. Because in the emotions of the moment, they preferred slavery to taking a risk of trusting God in faith. Which leads us to this truth. Many people live today in fear, emotional slavery, relational slavery. They are so wrapped up in their current fear rather than embracing the freedom that comes from taking a step of faith. And what is the tragic end of this? Well, the people of God lost their direction, and they lost 40 years of good time when all they needed to do was reject their eyes of fear and embrace a step of faith, which was no risk at all because God himself had promised that he would be with them. So what is the secret to replacing fear and anxiety and feelings of insecurity? How do I replace my fear with taking a step of faith? Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:18, the Apostle Paul prays a prayer for all of us. And this is what he prays. He prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. The eyes of your heart will be opened. God's prayer is, I want you to see with spiritual eyes. Let me give you an illustration. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is walking with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. But they don't recognize him, the Bible says. They don't recognize Jesus until the Bible says the Lord opened their eyes. And they realized that Jesus had been with them. The eyes of their heart were opened. Let me give you another illustration. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a story of Elisha and his servant. They're in this walled city. The entire Syrian army is going to come and capture and kill them. They're only the two people. There's a city there, but they're only coming for these two people. They're surrounded, and the servant is just going ballistic in fear. He is only filled with eyes of fear, and he shakes Elisha. He says, Elisha, wake up. We're surrounded. What are we going to do? They're going to kill us. Elisha gets out of his bed. I wish I could have been there for this one. And they step out onto the veranda. They're surrounded by the Syrian army. But the Bible tells us in 2 Kings that this is what Elisha prays. He says, he looks to heaven. He says, O Lord, open my servant's eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, and at that moment he saw the hills full of chariots and horses surrounding all of the other army. And God delivered them. And here's what I want to say. Your fears will always flee when you begin seeing with eyes of faith. And that's what every single person needs. They need to start seeing with spiritual eyes, to see eyes of faith, not just obstacles, but opportunities, not just problems, but potential. We need people who will see with eyes of faith, not just with eyes of fear. And the Apostle Paul is writing to a young church in Thessalonica, and he gives them three simple steps that we've sung about this morning, and that we have reinforced, we've heard scripture about it this morning. Developing a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. So practical on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Three things. Number one, learn to be joyful always. Number two, pray with faith continually. And number three, in everything give thanks. Because the healthiest human emotion that God has created is the emotion of gratitude. Did you know that you cannot, physiologically and mentally, you cannot be consumed with worry and consumed with gratitude at the same time? If you choose to have and develop the emotion of gratefulness and the emotion of gratitude, it will automatically kick out everything negative in your life if you're overwhelmed and if you develop this attitude of gratitude. That's why, in fact, Larry read it this morning. That's why he said that the Apostle Paul is writing in prison. He doesn't know whether or not he's going to live and die. And you know what he writes? Exactly what Larry read this morning. Don't be anxious about anything. Now, this guy's about ready to get his head chopped off. And this is what he writes. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. If you will cultivate that attitude, there is no way that you can be consumed with worry when you are overwhelmingly focused on being grateful. And the Bible says, with thanksgiving when you present your request, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You won't be able to understand how God does it, but the peace of God will guard your heart and will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And so before God's people finally entered the promised land, this is the promise that God gave them. He said, "Haven't I commanded you? Be bold. Be strong. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid." Why? Because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So this attitude, for this Thanksgiving, this is what I hope that everyone will do, that you will choose to see with eyes of faith. Would you please stand with me? Is there anything that we need to do at the end, Ryan?
We have a closing song.
Oh, good. Okay. Lord, I just am so grateful for the privilege of being here today with every person. I pray, Lord, that if there's a person here that hasn't opened up their heart to you, that or a person that needs to rededicate their life to you, would you give them the ability to take that spiritual step today? May through this message today, our minds be renewed so we will see with eyes of faith. And I pray, Father, as well, that you would cultivate our attitude so that we will always be thankful and grateful people. Being joyful always, praying without ceasing, and in every situation, giving thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.